Introduction. May a new fire be kindled in our hearts. May it rise in our heads like a new light in order to transform our lives into a totally new life. Levi H. Dowling, author of The Aquarian Gospel, leads us along the path of self-knowledge with the words, "Man is a thought of God. All thoughts of God are infinite. They are not measured up by time, for things that are concerned with time begin and end. The thoughts of God are from the everlasting of the past unto the never-ending days to come. And so is man, the spirit man. But man, like every other thought of God, was but a seed that held within itself the potencies of God, just as the seed of any plant of earth holds deep within itself the attributes of every part of that especial plant. So spirit man, as seed of God, held deep within himself the attributes of every part of God. Now seeds are perfect, yeah, as perfect as the source from which they come, but they are not unfolded into life made manifest. The human seed that came forth from the heart of God was full ordained to be the Lord of plane of soul, and of the plane of things made manifest. So God, the husbandman of every thing that is, threw forth this human seed into the soil of soul. It grew apace, and man became a living soul, and he became the Lord of all the kingdom of the soul. A multitude of lessons man must learn upon the plane of soul. And here he tarries many ages until his lessons are all learned. Perfected man must pass through all the ways of life, and so a carnal nature was full manifest, a nature that sprang forth from fleshly things. Without a foe, a soldier never knows his strength, and thought must be developed by the exercise of strength. And so this carnal nature soon became a foe that man must fight, that he might be the strength of God made manifest. Let every living thing stand still and hear. Man is the Lord of all the plane of manifests, of protoplast, of mineral, of plant, of beast, but he has given up his birthright just to gratify his lower self, his carnal self. But man will full regain his lost estate, his heritage, but he must do it in a conflict that cannot be told in words. Yea, he must suffer trials and temptations manifold. Man will be fully saved, redeemed, perfected by the things he suffers on the plane of flesh and on the plane of soul. When man has conquered carnal things, his garb of flesh will then have served its purpose well, and it will fall, will be no more. And Buddha tells us about the meaning and spiritual dimension of life. The liberation of their own being is for all human beings the primordial and most immediate task. From the first fact of existence, life manifests itself as the law of transformation or mutability. Everything that exists is subordinated to the same turn in the wheel of life, which comprises birth, growth, decline, and death. Thus, life proceeds single and alone, and seeks to express itself incessantly in new forms. It is a process of movement, and those who are trapped in a form, however beautiful it may be, will suffer as long as they try to retain that movement. The law of transformation also relates to the soul. All consequences have their causes. And the natural soul, or the character of human beings, is the sum of their previous thoughts and actions. Karma, which means action and reaction, governs all existence. And human beings are the sole creator of their conditions and reactions, their future state, and their ultimate destiny. Through pure guidance of actions and thoughts, they can gradually purify their inner nature and thereby, through self-realization, attain liberation through soul rebirth. Life is one and indivisible, though its changing forms are countless and fleeting. Verily, there is no death, though each form must die. When we understand the oneness of life, compassion arises, a feeling of deep oneness with life in all its forms. Compassion is described as the law of laws, as eternal harmony, and those who break this harmony of life will consequently suffer and delay their enlightenment. Walking the liberating path requires perfect understanding, pure goals, correct action, and pure life. Only then does the heart become pure. Thus, in order to deal with the topic of health and spirituality, we would like to propose a reflection on the question of the constant search for health, which is something common to all human beings. Human life is so fragile and its balance so tenuous that we could say that we are constantly looking for the best means and methods to maintain it and live it in the best possible way. In our time, in which material means have advanced and allowed many people to go beyond the mere border of survival, we can observe that there is a growing concern with the quality of life, indicated by an increasingly conscious care with food, lifestyle, and the body. In this way, human beings who become more aware of themselves seek more and more balance, not only physical and organic, but also emotional and psychic. The dimensions of our inner world are becoming more and more visible, as they are predominant factors in our outer life. Thus, humanity is increasingly awakening to the fact that the health of the body directly depends on the balance of our mind, our feelings, and our attitude towards life. We live in an increasingly fast-paced world where the level of stress to which we are subjected in our daily routine is constantly increasing. Therefore, we need to remain alert at all times, following abrupt changes in the environment that surrounds us, changes that demand instant responses from us, whether in the personal, family, or professional spheres. Consequently, it is natural that psychological and emotional stress, and also biological stress, are so constant for all people of all ages. For this reason, following the same dizzying speed of changes in the external environment, new techniques, methods, and approaches appear every second. Whether indicated by traditional or alternative medicine, as well as new advice on nutrition and lifestyle. All these new approaches, which closely accompany these new times, so full of transformation in which we live, are certainly innovative and extremely valid. Despite the changes and the external environment, we could say, however, that the search for health and balance has always been constant at all times and in all peoples of human history. The wisdom accumulated over the centuries, which we symbolically call the universal teaching, also tells us that the dimension of health goes beyond the simple, proper functioning of our organism, and that its foundations, its deepest roots, are found beyond our physical reality, in the deepest recesses of our psyche. Let us think here of Oriental medicine, for example, which sees the phenomena of the physical body as manifestations of the aggregates of energy that surround us, which are governed by our inner predisposition. Let us also remember the well-known Latin aphorism, which points us to a simple but profound health formula in these words that state, "Mens sana in corpore sano," a healthy mind in a healthy body. Similarly, the Rosicrucians of the beginning of the last century formulated the aim of their work in this threefold motto, a pure mind, a noble heart, and a healthy body. And even modern science is rapidly approaching this ancestral knowledge that health depends not only on external or genetically inherited factors, but mainly on a solid foundation which must be based on a different functioning of the mind, heart, and body in their entirety. Among countless works that have appeared in recent decades, we can mention the eloquent example of the study by Professor Bruce Lipton entitled The Biology of Belief, a work cited as the reference literature of this conference, which demonstrates, based on new and advanced ideas of cell biology, how a person's state of consciousness and inner predisposition is an even more powerful factor than their genetic heritage. Rosicrucians of all ages have always been deeply interested in the fundamentals of health and talk about the real science of healing. Among them, we can cite illustrious examples such as those of Paracelsus, Cagliostro, Sigismund Backstrom, and many well-known alchemists. And in their famous Sixfold Agreement, the document that represents their early 17th century declaration of principles, the Rosicrucians state that the only trade of a Rosicrucian will be that of healing, and they will always do this for free. With this statement, the Rosicrucians want to indicate that from their point of view, healing is not something that is restricted solely to restoring health or maintaining the balance of the metabolism. In reality, in its broadest and deepest sense, healing represents a radical transformation of the human being as a whole, which thus restores the original order of the different aspects of their being, freeing them from the deeper causes that lie behind physical illnesses, emotional disturbances, and psychic stress. Therefore, for Rosicrucians, healing is a process of transformation, not a technique, a practice, or even the application of external medicine. In the past, when one could not speak openly about these things without running the risk of retaliation or even persecution, this healing process was described in a veiled and symbolic way, for example, through the metaphor of alchemy. In this way, when nowadays we hear about an alchemical laboratory, about the philosopher's stone, and the manufacture of gold, we must understand all these aspects as symbols that point to different parts of our own being, parts that must be transformed and literally healed through a very precise and meticulous process. In modern, simple, and very direct terms, this process refers to the transformation of the three pillars that constitute the human being, which we could call consciousness, energy fields, and the biological matrix of the body. Consciousness, our energy fields, and the biological matrix that constitutes our bodies have been represented in countless symbolic ways in the past. Some examples illustrate this symbolism, such as spirit, soul, and body, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, caterpillar, chrysalis, and butterfly. And in the Gospel, the figures of John the Baptist, Jesus, and Christ. All these symbols indicate that three fundamental transformations need to happen in each of us. These three transformations aim to rid us of the deep causes of everything we know externally as a lack of psychic balance, stress, mental and emotional, and physical illnesses. These root causes are as follows. In our consciousness, the fact that we use ourself as the only point of support. In our personal energy field, the fact that we are controlled by our thoughts, feelings, and reactions. And in the biological matrix of our body, the fact that we exacerbate the predispositions to certain illnesses that we already have by genetic inheritance through an inner attitude that carries unresolved conflicts of our I and the tumultuous life of our thoughts, feelings, and reactions. In the following chapters, we intend to deal with each of these causes, dedicating an individual and in-depth analysis to them. So in the end, we hope that each one of us has approached these questions from a deep and real perspective, and that in this way we can take back to our homes and our lives a key with which we can open a new dimension in ourselves, a dimension that should show us that the health of the body must be the result of a process of an inner transformation of our consciousness.
To summarize, here are a few words from the Tao Te Ching by Lao Tse.
Those who know others are astute, but those who know themselves are illumined. Those who overcome others are strong, but those who overcome themselves are mighty. Whoever knows how to be content is rich. Whoever works firmly in their purpose has character. Whoever does not lose their essential nature will hold out. Whoever dies yet is not lost will enjoy everlasting life. Also timely are the words of Levi H. Dowling in his Aquarian Gospel. Again, Elihu met his pupils in the sacred grove and said, No man lives unto himself, for every living thing is bound by cords to every other living thing. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will love and not demand love in return. They will not do to other men what they would not have other men do unto them. There are two selves, the higher and the lower self. The higher self is human spirit clothed with soul, made in the form of God. The lower self, the carnal self, the body of desires, is a reflection of the higher self, distorted by the murky ethers of the flesh. The lower self is an illusion and will pass away. The higher self is God in man and will not pass away. The lower self is the embodiment of truth reversed, and so is falsehood manifest. The higher self is justice, mercy, love, and right. The lower self is what the higher self is not. The lower self breeds hatred, slander, lewdness, murders, theft, and everything that harms. The higher self is mother of the virtues and the harmonies of life. The lower self is rich in promises but poor in blessedness and peace. It offers pleasure, joy, and satisfying gains, but gives unrest and misery and death. It gives men apples that are lovely to the eye and pleasant to the smell. Their cores are full of bitterness and gall. If you would ask me what to study, I would say, yourselves. And when you will have studied them, and then would ask me what to study next, I would reply, yourselves. He who knows well his lower self knows the illusions of the world, knows of the things that pass away, and he who knows his higher self, know God, knows well the things that cannot pass away. Thrice blessed is the man who has made purity and love his very own. He has been ransomed from the perils of the lower self, and is himself his higher self. Men seek salvation from an evil that they deem a living monster of the nether world, and they have gods that are but demons in disguise, all-powerful, yet full of jealousy and hate and lust, whose favours must be bought with costly sacrifice of fruits and of the lives of birds and animals and humankind. And yet these gods possess no ears to hear, no eyes to see, no heart to sympathise, no power to save. This evil is myth. These gods are made of air, clothed with shadows of a thought. The only devil from which men must be redeemed is self, the lower self. If man would find his devil, he must look within. His name is self. If man would find his saviour, he must look within. And when the demon self has been dethroned, the saviour, love, will be exalted to the throne of power. May this new awareness rise one day in every human being that inhabits our earth, and may this be a great healing factor, the fundamental healing of human life, individual and collective.